in a Sierra Nevada soil.
I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Wally Miller, Ben Rao, and Matt Meadows. So background, there's been an interest lately in at least in the ecological literature about the variability in soils that we've always been trying to ignore and homogenize, mainly as they're nutrient hotspots that might be important for nutrition. And basically, think of a Job's tree spike. The roots can migrate to it. Microbes are not competitive in that case, and there can be more uptake than if the nutrients are spread over the landscape, in which case the microbes probably always win. So I looked at some data from the eastern Sierra Nevada mountains where we've collected data over many years, and without exception, ammonium and nitrate, as measured by soil extraction, resins, soil solution, and runoff, exhibited extreme positive outliers. Outliers were much less prevalent for more abundant nutrients, in our case, calcium and magnesium. And we also have O-horizon interflow, water flowing over the top of the mineral soil through the O-horizon, that's very enriched in nutrients because we have no rooting in the litter, and therefore there's decomposition, no uptake, and when the water moves through there, it just takes these mineralized nutrients and moves them around. So we think we have preferential flow paths that are enriched in nutrients as a result, these nutrients going in someplace if they don't go into the stream. So as part of the Southern Sierra Critical Zone Observatory work at Kings River Experimental Watershed, that gives you some information there. It's a mixed conifer forest on the west side of the Sierra Nevada, and soils are mostly in septosols. There have been plenty of studies where people have looked at preferential flow, but they've done it through excavation. They've found the preferential flow path and sampled it. We took the opposite approach and looked for the shot-in-the-dark approach. We took small plots and laid out points of sampling, very much like the last talk. And so this is one of our first designs. And at each point, or close to each point, I should say, we put in resin capsules. I can never get my pointer like that. Small resin capsules, Unibest, the PRS resin membrane probes. And then at each node, we also took cores like this through the forest floor and the surface mineral soil, separated them, took them back to the laboratory, and extracted them with different extractants in water. And these are all the analyses we did on them, pretty much everything, except on the mineral soils, we did not have enough to do extractable P. We only did water-soluble P, unfortunately. And we also collected O-horizon interflow. Some of you may have seen this before. Basically, you put a little flange right underneath the O-horizon litter interface and let it run off, and it runs through a tiny little hole right there. So we're not getting direct through-fall deposition to any significant degree. And just set it up so we can collect it beneath the snowpack. And we routinely find on the east side that there's lots of solution flowing this way, and it's very, very highly enriched. Wally has found ammonium nitrogen levels up to 70 parts per million, and ortho-P up to 30 parts per million. That's million, not billion. So it can be very enriched. So looking first at the O-horizons, did we have nutrient hotspots? Yes, and more so for the weaker water extractions. Are they more common for the least abundant nutrients? Nope. We find some for calcium here, both negative and positive. Extreme outlier for calcium there, and it's far more abundant than ammonium, at least more abundant than nitrate and ortho-P. So no correlation with nutrient abundance. Mineral soils, did we find them? Yes. More common for the least abundant nutrients? Nope. Again, we have extreme outliers indicated by that asterisk. For nitrate and calcium, both the water and the KCl extractable nutrients. Resins, Do the nutrient hotspots occur? Yes, but less seem to be less so for the PRS probes than for the capsules. Not exactly sure why. Maybe it's because the PRS probes include more area. They include 10 square centimeters, and the capsules are, I forget what it is, a couple of square centimeters. Nutrient-rich O-horizon interflow occur? Yes, it does. And here's some box plots of micromoles per liter of ammonium nitrate and calcium. So we have extreme outliers of nitrate, not quite as enriched, and I should say putrefied, as some of the samples Wally collects on the east side, but nevertheless pretty enriched. And there is no rooting in the litter, just on, as in the east side. So these are bubble plots. You can't read the exact numerical values. But do O-horizon runoff cause nutrient hotspots? Maybe. Now, there's a whole bunch of, I could show you these for the next hour. But this shows the one place, one case that is water extractable nutrients in the soil where there was one spot at grid point 02 that was the highest level and an extreme outlier by our statistical definition for every single nutrient except ortho-P. And for ortho-P, it came in second. So it looked very much like a hot spot for all measured nutrients, water extractable. What factors might have affected this? The first thing that came to mind, we cored right through the O-horizon in mineral soil, so was it the O-horizon mass or nutrient content? No, no correlation whatsoever. Didn't tell us a thing. Another factor, O-horizon water extractable nutrients, same thing. There are hot spots all over the place, but that 0-2 point is definitely not showing up as anything particularly high. And then soil organic carbon, nitrogen, we submitted the paper for review. They, one of the first things that came back, oh, it's got to be soil organic matter. Well, I hadn't even made much of a point of that because I knew it wasn't significant. And we don't even have hot spots for total carbon, total nitrogen, or C-N ratio. So that's not it. KCl or ammonium chloride extractable? No. Only for nitrate. And in the case of nitrate, it's one of four spots. And I also should note that the difference between KCl extractable and water extractable nitrate was negligible. They basically get the same thing. For ammonium, you get far more higher concentration with KCl than you do with water. And that's same true as the other of the other nutrients. There was a weak relationship between O-horizon mass and hotspots, namely, there were lower concentrations when the O-horizon mass was thick. When the O-horizon mass was thin, you could have anything. Very weak, not sure what it means. It could mean that there was simply less water flow when the O-horizon is thicker. So do the resin-based measurements showing correspond to those for the O-horizon, to each other, or the mineral soil? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So in conclusion, we found hot spots occur in the Kings River watershed, as we thought they might, because of the O-horizon interflow. Unlike the eastern Sierran sites, the hot spots in the Kings River soil are not more common for at least abundant nutrients. They seem to be more common, however, for water-extractable nutrients in the mineral soil than for any other particular measurement we made. And hotspots for the extractable nutrients were weakly negatively correlated to O-horizon mass, very weakly. One water-extractable multi-nutrient hotspot might be might be the place where we're O-horizon interflows going in, but of course we can't. There's no smoking gun. We can't prove that. It just looks like it could be. So there have been, 3 years of follow-up study now. My student Cassandra Woodward is going to be delivering her thesis pretty soon, and we'll have an update for you. So that's all I have. If there are any questions, I imagine there's some time. Kate? I think Kate had a question. I can't hear you, sorry. Well, that's exactly what she's asking, if they're basically hot moments, and that's the title of one of the papers we use for background. And that's exactly what we're trying to look at this following year. In fact, the next year after this, we're going to be measuring. You can't measure in exactly the same place, but with the PRS probes and capsules, you put them very close together, leave one set to pull out after the first rain, and one set after snowmelt. And so there are hot moments that occur, and she'll be reporting on that. So they do migrate around. Jerry. That would be a good. He's asking if we compare it to other places where we don't have this phenomenon of O-horizon enriched interflow, like Oak Ridge, for example. And I need to go back and dig out that data and hope we didn't do too much bulking, because every time we bulk, you know, you can't do it. And the answer is I don't know yet. And furthermore, we don't know. We haven't tested whether O-horizon interflow occurs at Oak Ridge, for example, or not. We would think not. The soils don't get hydrophobic there. They certainly get very hydrophobic in the Sierra Nevada every summer. And they're very, very water repellent. So probably not, but we don't know yet. Yeah. So you found that at Coweta?
Yeah, extreme outliers.
Okay. Lindsay. I can't. Sorry, got my hearing aids in too, and I can't hear you. No, they're not consistent over time. And one of the things Cassandra did was PLFA, microbial analyses, no relation whatsoever. So that was really interesting, actually, that it does not appear to be, at least by the PLFA, microbially related. It's something else.